I'm just going to pray for Jenny now. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll fill Jenny now. Speak through her words that they may be heard, and give us the heart to receive them. Amen.
Evening, everyone. Like many other couples in lockdown, Finn and I found ourselves working in the very close quarters of a shared space for the first time ever. It was an interesting experience. As you know, Finn is a scientist, and I believe that science and theology are beautifully complementary disciplines and that there's no disagreement between them. However, they are very different disciplines, as I was reminded during these early days. There was one occasion where I walked into the study to find Finn with his head in his hands, and I said, "Love, what's up?" And Finn looked up and he said, "I just cannot get the answer." And I said, very helpfully, "The answer is always Jesus." To which my poor husband replied, "Absolutely. But in this particular instance, I need the answer to be 7. Next week, we enter the season of Advent. And so this week marks the end of the church's year. And this week is called Christ the King, as we remember that Jesus is King and Lord over all. It is all about Jesus. And that's the message at the end of the Christian year. It is all about Jesus, even if you want the answer to be 7. This festival began in 1925 by Pope Pius XI, who was becoming increasingly concerned about a rising tide of secularism in society. And he wanted to affirm again the absolute lordship of Jesus over all, to which I say, amen, Brother Pius, we are with you. It is all about Jesus. Advent is just an onslaught of activity, isn't it? It is a truly extraordinary time as a church. We're going into so many different things, our Christmas journey. We have school celebrations. Some of us will be going to nativities. We'll be going Christmas tree shopping. We'll be battling with packed shops. We'll be going to carol services. We'll be entertaining visitors or being visitors. We'll be wrapping presents. We'll be doing the food shop. We'll be going back for the things we forgot. We'll be eating the minced pies and drinking the mulled wine, probably in excess. And yet, in the midst of that madness, we want to put a stake in the ground and say, this is all about Jesus. Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" King meant something quite different in those days. Think about our own queen for a moment. Her faith is very, very well documented. I actually think she's a marvelous evangelist. A number of Christmases ago, she spoke, as she does on Christmas Day, and she spoke so openly about her faith in Jesus Christ. She may as well have given an altar call at the end. It was remarkable and incredibly courageous, actually. But the monarchy of Jesus' day fulfilled a completely different role altogether. They had total and absolute rule. There was no such thing as democracy. Rule came about by physical and often violent conquest through force and through subjugation. Contrast that to Jesus, who warred, yes, but warred not as nation against nation, but rather by pouring himself out for our sakes and against sin, against death, and against the forces of evil. Jesus says to Pilate, "You say that I am king. The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth will listen to me." Let's not underestimate the truly stunning nature of that statement in that context. What Jesus had just said was a sedition punishable by death. And he said it knowingly. Why? Because Caesar was king. He was king, very much the only recognized king of the Roman Empire. And what Jesus has said was a direct and open challenge to that. Let's hold in mind the wonderful teaching from C.S. Lewis, many of you will be familiar with, which says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying that really foolish thing people often say about him being Jesus. I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing that we must not say. A man who said that sort of thing would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic or else he would be the devil of hell. Jesus has not left middle ground open to us as we wrestle with his kingship. Either he was king, he was who he said he was, or he was insane. There is nothing in between. I expect if anyone else had said this to Pilate, he would have instantly dismissed him as mad, particularly in that social context, knowing the consequences of his words. But there was something about Jesus that Pilate couldn't quite shake. Perhaps he knew it's all about Jesus. When I read about Pilate, I often wonder if he saw the truth in Christ. I wonder if he contrasted him with the other leaders of the day and saw a version of kingship that was far, far more appealing than what he had seen otherwise. Jesus said in today's reading that he was here to testify to the truth. And I want to share a quote with you now that I believe to be rich in truth, line after line after line of truth. And go and look it up if you get the chance afterwards. The full version is stunning. It's by Dr. Lockridge, who is a Pentecostal preacher. And he said the following words, but it is of Pentecostal proportions. So I have edited it down to Anglican proportions for us this evening. But it is rich and it's full. Go and stick it in an internet browser. It's well worth it. It's Dr. Lockridge. The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He is the king of Israel. That's a national king. He is the king of righteousness. He is the king of the ages. He is the king of heaven. He is the king of glory. He is the king of all kings, and he is the Lord of lords. That's my king. He is everlastingly strong. He is eternally steadfast. He is God's son. He is the sinner's savior. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick and cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinner. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He is my king. He is the king. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway to peace. He's the roadway to righteousness. He is the highway to holiness. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find fault in him, and Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave could not hold him. That is my king. To the Christian, he is Lord and Savior. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. That is my king. It is all about Jesus. I'm going to go back and meditate on that line at a time, at some point. It is so enriching and nourishing. And if you don't know Jesus, and perhaps you're worshipping at home or not worshipping, you don't know Jesus as Lord and lover of your life, then I would urge you, explore the veracity of that claim. Push into it. Challenge it. Come and join us on Alpha in January. You would be more than welcome. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. If you do know that, then there are consequences to that truth. That truth has an impact on our lives, which St. Paul summed up well when he wrote to the Roman Christians and said this: "Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's why we spend time in the presence of God, pressing into his presence after this service, that we would be transformed, filled with his love, and made more loving by his Spirit. Because Jesus Christ is not an abstract historical figure. He was flesh and blood, and he rose from the grave. At this service a few weeks ago, I spoke on being called to be followers of Christ and fishers for men and women. And in that sermon, I shared that I believe one of the main differences about Christianity is that we don't subscribe to a set of ideologies. We don't sign up to a belief system as such. We fall in love with a person. We get to know that person on a deeper and more intimate level as our lives go on. And we live our lives from the overflow of that loving relationship. That's the difference. "What is the truth?" asked Pilate. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," said Jesus. "No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, countless millions of people may live today, do live today, as if Jesus were not king. But that doesn't alter the reality of the fact one jot. That doesn't change his lordship one little bit. Jesus is king over the atheist. He's king over the doubter. He's king over the unbeliever. He's king over the faithful. He's king over the good and king over the bad. It is all about Jesus. And how we respond or fail to respond doesn't alter that. Not one jot. It is all about him. As you know, I denied the kingship of Jesus for more than a decade. And when I came back to him, I found it hadn't changed his kingship one little bit. And it hadn't changed his love for me. Not one little bit. He remains king. And he remains over all, no matter what we do. But that doesn't mean that what we do doesn't matter. What we do does matter. It has consequences. It can impact other people and it can hurt us. Philippians tells us, "Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Those of heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Our response is to bow our knee and to confess with our mouths, "Jesus Christ is Lord." As followers of the King, we are his subjects, and we have to live every minute of our lives in faithful submission to his lordship. And I'm not going to make practical suggestions now, because you probably know what that means for you. And if not, I encourage you to make some space and listen. Be still in the presence of God and listen. What might that mean for me today? What does it mean that Jesus is Lord over your life? And how can I respond? How can I live differently? As we enter Advent next week. Remember, as you button up your coat to go and buy the cranberry sauce that you forgot, or when you're sitting up late writing cards to people you've not seen in years, or wrapping an endless pile of gifts, or when you spend more than an hour detangling fairy lights, remember, it is all about Jesus. He is King, and he is in and through all of these things. And he is with us now. In the mighty name of my Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.